But there are some principles that you see woven through here that you and I think, can pull out and put into place in our lives. For what one of us has not at some point or at many points in our lives had the question, struggled with the issue of, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Should I proceed down this path? Should I proceed down this path? Should I do this or not do this? There are some things that God's will is very clear on. Those are the clear commands of Scripture. There are some things God does not want us to do, and there are some things that God absolutely wants us to do. But there's a whole lot of issues in our life that God does not speak definitively of in Scripture. So how can we track with Peter to find these answers? Well, I want to share with you five principles tonight just to think about as we would seek to honor God and discover His will in our life. Number one, go back to God's purpose. Go back to God's purpose. As Peter is encountering this and is being shocked by this vision and the aftermath and the Gentiles and the Spirit coming, his world's turned upside down. It has to be. And sometimes we non-Jews, I think, probably take a little wrong spin of this, okay? It is not that the next day Peter went out and bought a ham sandwich, okay? It's not about Jewish laws suddenly fading into oblivion. I think Peter continued on keeping the festivals and that sort of thing. He did not give up his Jewishness. But Jewishness, if we want to say it that way, was not imposed on Gentiles. They don't have to have this culture and this religious heritage put upon them so they can believe in Christ. They can just believe in Christ. It's not about wiping out the New Testament or the Old Testament. It's not about changing Jewish perspective on those things. But it is about God now declaring that Gentiles who believe in Christ, they're as clean before God as a Jew who believes in Christ. Don't call anything common or unclean that I have cleansed. That's the point God is making. And that has been God's purpose all along. If you want to connect, Lord, what do you want me to do? Stop and ask yourself, where does God's purpose fit into this? What is your purpose for me? What is your purpose for us? For Peter, this should have been, and I don't want to put too much blame on him, but there should have been some hints to this. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, God in the person of Christ specifically said, you'll be witnesses in these venues, including the ends of the earth, the uttermost parts of the earth. That should have clued him in that this would have been Gentiles. We know that earlier in Acts, the Ethiopian eunuch came to Christ. He was probably a Jewish proselyte, but not a Jew by birth. He comes to Christ. We just looked last time as we were looking in chapters in chapter 8 particularly, and over into chapter 9 and so forth, and really the end of chapter 9, the gospel comes to the Samaritans. He's off in Joppa, and he's off in Lydda, these towns that are on the frontier, so to speak. So it should have been evident that it's God's purpose to be enlarging His work. Ultimately, if you had to sum up what is God's purpose for us as individuals and really as a church too, I think somewhere you would have to include the understanding that we exist to bring glory to God. At the very most basic point of understanding of our purpose, we are not created to serve ourselves. We're not created to live for our own pleasure. We're not created to be self-centered, self-focused, and self-guided. We are created to bring glory to God, to put the spotlight on Him, to honor and praise Him. That's our purpose. So somehow factoring in, Lord, what do you want me to do? Go back to your purpose. Lord, I am here to glorify you. I just want to consider as I go through this process, what can I do that can bring most glory to you? And by the way, if you put God's glory as a purpose alongside of many things we might be inclined to do, it probably will sort out quite a few of them. And it has a way of refining us. So go back to God's purpose. You think about that in relation to a church. There's lots of things we can be involved in as a church. There's lots of activities. There's lots of programs. There's lots of things we could do. And many of them are good things. But as we select as a church, what are we going to be about? What are we going to do? How are we going to use the resources God has given us? we just always have to ask this question. How does this relate to our purpose? What is our purpose? What's the purpose for the church? To make disciples of all the nations. That's our purpose. How is doing whatever it is, might be very good, might be whatever, does that help us make disciples? We just need to run it through that grid, and that will help us so much. Number two, connect with purpose. Go back to God's purpose. Number two, pray always. Pray always. It's interesting that as you read the story of the centurion in verse 3, it says, about the ninth hour of the day, and it said previously, he prayed to God always at about the ninth hour of the day. For Jews, that was the hour of prayer. It does not say specifically that Cornelius was praying at the ninth hour, but I kind of suspect that might have been a time in describing how religious he was and how seeking after God he was. He was not a believer in Christ. He hadn't heard Christ preached yet. But God begins this process to make sure that Cornelius and company hear about Christ through Peter. It was probably a time of prayer. It tells us in verse 9, the next day as they went on their journey and drew near, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. That would be around noontime. Typically, Jews would pray in Peter's day twice in the day, which would be 9 a.m. about that time and about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. If you were super plugged in or you had some issue in need or need, you would also include a noontime time of prayer, a third time of prayer. And Peter is that kind of person. Perhaps it was his routine. Perhaps it was unique because of some special event in his life. But he's praying. He's praying. He's praying. I don't know how to make this any more sound any more impactful than just saying it. When you want to discover God's will and you want Him to direct you, there is no substitute for praying earnestly about it. I can't add anything to that. I can't make that sound any better than it is, but it is absolutely true. Significant, amazing, wonderful, impactful, life-changing, redirecting things happen when we pray. And let's make sure, I just would say this is a very brief warning, then we're going to go on. Let's make sure that we don't talk more about praying than we actually pray. Sometimes we're guilty of that. Oh, pray about this. I'll pray for that. I'll pray for you. Pray for us. Pray, pray, pray. We talk a lot about praying, and that's fine. So long as we actually pray. So make sure we pray more than we talk about praying. And go to the Lord in prayer. The great thing is, He's there to hear. He was hearing Cornelius. He heard Peter. And God moved in a very, very particular way. There is no substitute for praying always. And I would encourage you, there's something good, as is their habit, about having a regular time to pray. Or to set aside some special time to pray. If you have a special need, and He does that. Number three. Another principle of helping us discover God's direction in life is not only praying, and not only just going back to purpose, but I want to say it this way. We need to track the trends of His work. Track the trends of His work. Now, there's a trend going through this story. We've already kind of hinted at it, so let me just run through it one more time. Peter preaches in that moment of Pentecost when the Spirit of God falls. There is this marvelous gift of tongues. The people come together, and then Peter stands up to explain what is going on. Remember, they accused him in Acts 2, and the disciples, are these people drunk? It's early in the morning, but they sound drunk to us. And Peter says, these aren't drunk as you suppose, and then he preaches Christ. Thousands of people saved that day, come to Christ, and are baptized. The church begins in Jerusalem. We've talked about it moving out from there into Judea, into Samaria, into Lydda, into Joppa, and now we're here into the Roman world, if you will, in this city of Caesarea, to the most Roman of Romans, this Roman soldier, this centurion. Peter should have been able to have tracked that this was the ongoing pattern. God was moving this testimony of Christ ever outward, to enlarge, to take in more territory. So Peter should have been able to figure out the trend is to be always outward, so what's the next thing? This shouldn't have been shocking. The problem was he had his own preconceived notions about what was clean and unclean. And basically what God is saying, through faith in Christ, even Gentiles can be clean before me. They can be saved before me. Don't you call unclean what I'm going to call clean. And that is the acceptance they need to come to. You and I need to figure out what are the trends in our lives. How has God been leading me? How has He used me? How has He taught me? How has He directed me? What are the trends in our lives? And listen to what other people may say. I remember being in a seminary class, and it was a homiletics class, which is a fancy word for trying to teach you how to preach. You know, like in most disciplines, you put a big fancy word on it, it sounds more impressive. So I was in a homiletics practicum class, and you have to, you know, I don't usually write manuscripts. But you had to do a full manuscript, and they had the manuscript, and then you had to stand up in front of your classmates and the professors and the doctors and all that and share your sermon. And I did that and enjoyed that. And I just remember one of my professors, and it was one of those moments when, okay, that I think that's God's direction. And he asked a little bit about my history, and he just kind of looked at me and says, I don't know what the Lord may have for you, future ministry, or how He may direct you, or where He may lead you, but He says this. He says, you need to preach and teach God's word. That's what you need to do. That's how He's fixed you and how He's fastened you. He says, whatever you do. And he said, the world, I mean, in our day, there's worlds of different ministries. He said, but that's what God called you to do. And I had to think, you know, I've kind of tracked the trend of my life. First time I ever stood before a group of people and preached was when I was 18 years old. It lasted all of about 7 minutes, as I recall. I was out of material really quick. You would not believe that I could preach anything in 7 minutes, right? You've never heard that from me ever before. But anyway, just to track the trends of my life. And I'm comfortable that this is what God wants me to do. Partly because of what He's done in here, but part is this has been the trend of life. This is how I've seen Him work and how I've seen Him use it. How's God used you? How has He led you? What has He made you? What do you enjoy? What has He made you for? Track the trends in your life, and that will be informative. Number four. And this is when this part of the story where the sheep falls and the animals are on it, expect the unexpected. Now you might sound that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You're tracking the trends of life and now expect something unexpected. Well, that's it. Sometimes it goes either way. But just expect that God will put opportunities in front of you, put twists and turns in the road. I don't know if He'll drop sheep out of heaven, but always be aware. God can do with us as He sees fit. And as we seek His leading and seek His direction, don't be shocked if He pushes you in a way you would never expect. Be open to that. And as I talked earlier, this whole section about the sheep coming down, as it says in verse 16, three times, and God saying to him, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This really pushed him past his prejudice. It pushed him past his preconceived notions about the way things are going to be. God may want to use us as a church. He may want to use you as an individual, you as a family, in ways we never expected. And all I'm saying is this, we need to be open for that. If God wants to do something that we didn't anticipate, we got to be okay with that. We got to be ready for that. We should not ever say, as Peter does, and God doesn't seem to chastise him for it, but God continues to lead him through it. We should never use the words of verse 14, not so, Lord. Not going to do that. Not going to do that. He didn't understand the vision at that point, and God needs to push him that way. He didn't know that when the sheet went up after the third presentation, that there's going to be someone knocking at the door. Sometimes that's the unexpected moment. You never know when someone's going to cross your path that you didn't expect. You may be shocked when someone comes across your path that you have a chance to say something for the Lord. I had a conversation with someone this morning, and I want to be aware of their privacy and so forth. So that's all I'm going to say. But I've been attending here for some time, and he just said to me, he said, thank you for clearing up some things for me this morning in your message. Frankly, I don't know what he meant by that or what part was cleared up. He didn't identify it. I'm going to ask you to pray about this in just a moment. But he said, I'm very close to being in with where you guys are. I don't know what that means. I don't want to assume he's not saved. I don't want to assume that he is saved. I'd certainly rather preach the gospel to a saved person than to fail to preach the gospel to a lost person. But there was just something. He said, I want to get together and talk sometime this week to you. Here's a man, I really don't know how he came to be here. I just had met him in the last month or two. And unexpected, I don't know how the Lord brought him here. But I tell you what, sometimes those things just drop in our laps and we need to be ready to share God's truth. So you be praying. I hope that conversation takes place. And whatever we need to see happen through God's word will happen. So you pray for an unnamed person this morning that perhaps needs Christ or perhaps needs to make some other decision for the Lord. But you just never know. Over these next days of this week, you don't know who you might run into. You don't know who the Lord might send calling into your world. Part of discovering His leading is just have your eyes open and your ears tuned in and be looking around and saying, okay, Lord, who's next? Who are you going to put past me? What are you going to challenge me with? You know, we should really not fear that. We should live with some joyous expectation that God has launched us on a unique and powerful and joyous adventure of following Him. Expect the unexpected. Lastly, listen to His voice. Listen to His voice. Peter certainly does. First of all, he listens to His voice that God speaks to him in verses 13 and 15, where He says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Where God says, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." God spoke directly to him. There's two avenues to listen to His voice. One is the Word of God. There's the Word of God. Listen to His voice. Now, remember where Peter is now. He's in the city of Joppa. Caesarea is about 30 miles north of Joppa. So he's got to make about a 30-mile journey to Caesarea to meet Cornelius. But he's in the city of Joppa. Peter would have known his Old Testament. Joppa is also on the coast of the Mediterranean. There is a Bible story. There's a biblical precedent for something that went on in Joppa. There was another man of God who God sent to deliver a message to a Gentile city by the name of Nineveh, and that man was named Jonah. Remember that story? Same place where Peter is. And you remember how Jonah approached the situation. I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going to catch the first ship and go the opposite way, and I'm going to run away from God. And by the way, that never works, and it didn't work out too well for Jonah. Remember the storm? He's thrown overboard, belly of the fish, spit up on the land. You know the whole story. He finally gets to Nineveh, and that's that little chapter in the book of Jonah. It's interesting that God has arranged Peter to be in the same city. And Peter hears a voice from God saying, "You're going to go preach to some Gentiles." He finds that out at least when the delegation arrives from Cornelius. You just wonder if Peter maybe didn't flash through his mind, "I don't want to go down the same path that Jonah did. I better be obedient and go." So he listens to God's voice. You know, we need to do likewise. And I can't prove that Peter had that way of thinking, but I just find it interesting. That's the city that God set it up. God could have arranged this at any point in Peter's life, but he waits till he gets to Joppa and then drops this opportunity on him. There's precedence for us as we read the stories of these men of old and these women of old who were people of faith to learn something of His voice. So we listen to the Word of God. We listen to the commands. But secondly, it says, if you just kind of read this story, verse 19, "When Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, go down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.'" So the Spirit of God informs Peter that it's okay to take the next step. The two primary ways that God communicates with us is first and foremost through His Word, and secondly through the Spirit who indwells us as we're a believer. Listen to His leading. Be sensitive to just being aware that He can lead us. So the Spirit of God and the Word of God is how we listen to His voice. Let me just quickly give you the five again, just very, very quickly. What are the principles we can discover? And God's leading him to this new area of ministry. Number one, go back to God's purpose. Number two, pray always. Number three, track the trends of His work. Number four, be ready and be willing to expect the unexpected. And number five, listen to His voice, both spoken through the Word of God and through the Spirit who indwells us. I hope This is what excites me. I hope that God gives every one of us an opportunity to put these into play somewhere in our lives this very week. That we would just be open to His leading and His direction. And see Him move us to places and do things that we would never ever dream up or ever imagine. And He would use us for His glory. So, here's what we need to be doing. Let's practice these principles of discovery as God would give us His grace to do so. Father, thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You for this chance that we've had to be together, to listen, to learn. And now, Lord, we want to put into practice what You have for us. Give us Your grace to do that, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.